off, show off. You have my attention, riot, sweet off. Dance for me, baby, step on, step on. Just keep it moving, cause we're still improving. I love how you dance and show off, show off. You have my attention, riot, sweet off. Dance for me, baby, step on, step on. Just keep it moving, cause we're still improving. I love how you dance and
show off, show off.
You have my attention,
riot, sweet off.
And dance for me, baby.
Step on, step on.
Just keep it moving, cause we're still improving. I love how you dance. Show up, you have my attention.
Yeah,
and dance for me, baby. Step on, step out. Keep it moving, it's still moving.
Already playing on VOB 92.9 FM, Hot 95.3 FM, and the Beat 104.1 FM. What a cracking way to start Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme for today, Saturday, May 30th, 2020. G Syndicate, new single called Chemistry. And G Syndicate represented today, as is the man who held somebody's girl as collateral. Slaggy Dan will tell us more. Sluggy's not the man who held the girl, though, but he's here, and he's here to tell us who is with him today. Good evening.
Good evening. Manners, and respect. Good evening. Greetings first to everyone in VOB country, everyone in Starcom Network world. Yes, I am here. I get so many messages saying, I love you. I still can't believe it. So, a man's respect to everybody, every single body, Lucy Clark, everybody. Good evening to my brethren, Mr. Ronnie Clark, a.k.a. Nobby, the announcer. We have some special guests today. You know, people that one of the persons is coincidentally someone that Ronnie loved, but don't know. You know, Ronnie sing about judges a lot. So this person also was also a judge. You know, Ronnie Clark declares his love for the judges. So we have a judge in the house, also a musician, qualified by the way and experience. I know him a long while, long before G Syndicate, so we can get into that. And then we have a youngster who, in my humble opinion and my bold expert opinion, is like the pick of the litter when it comes to songwriting and singing and performance. You got the whole package, and in my mind, fairly underrated. We can get deep into that as well, but he's extremely talented. So you want to say good evening to my brethren, Derek and Shaquille. So thanks a lot for coming on Beat Rhythm and Rhyme today, brothers.
Good evening. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for having me. Good evening. Long time.
Yeah, man, is the respect. Yes. All right, Derek.
Yeah, man.
Before we start anything, no Ronnie here. Listen, I got to tell you this. I'm sure if you hear, you might have heard Colin Spencer made some claims. So before we get into you and your career and how you start and interesting stories, before we get into all those things, I have to tell you what Colin Spencer said. Oh, and I know it's something that's going to rile you up. Colin Spencer said on national radio, Derek, listen to this. And Ronnie warned you not to say it too. So that we love Ronnie. Colin said that the St. George Parish Church always will have the best choir.
But hold on. He went so far as to say that the cathedral wasn't even in the top three, as far as I recall.
But no. That is so far from true.
We had Ronnie correct. See why you like Ronnie? Ronnie brain phenomenal. I forget. He said that, and when people calling Derek, he backed it up, or what we would call it, he stand up on it. Like, he said it's grown. He said no, he thought three and said how good it was that one calling Spencer.
That's fine. If you can say something, you should say it with your chest. So I don't mind him saying that. It might be wrong, but that's his opinion, you know. He's free to say what he believes to be true. That's his truth, so he can speak that.
Well, Colin, they still know about it. I hear St. George many times is fortunate with the police band, and they're great. But you hear some choirs, boy, especially at those services, all those years where we'll see you at church with the choir as well, with the chorale, and boy, here some choirs, country them programs, yeah, St. Mary's boy, and
yeah, man, yeah,
the church,
yeah,
boy, some choirs, that country there, boy, that was
St. Mary's is the cream of the crop. You can't get around that.
You can't get around that. And yeah, church, the only time I went to St. Mary's is when they went with police band, so it was not a church that I frequent or anything. So it was just being honest from what you see. It was a different level.
But so, I'll put it to you this way, if to provide perspective, right?
Yeah.
I went to Bacchanal Thursdays a couple of years ago, and I heard Alvin Topping reference St. Mary's Church, where at a Bacchanal Thursday, you know how hard your choir got to be.
That's a different level there.
You understand? What are you talking about?
He wanted
the crowd at Bacchanal Thursdays to sing like the St. Mary's Choir. You understand the gravity of that statement?
Correct. That's the first time I hear that. You're correct.
Right, so respectfully to Mrs. Spencer, no.
Yeah.
No. That's the long and short answer. Not nearly.
I know what you do, Colin. Get rolling. Good evening, Mr. Colin. Good evening, Mr. Colin Spencer.
Good evening to Mr. Spencer.
And hey, back with Derek today, Winner could be one of the greats, but not the absolute best.
The late Never King. Great musician too. So yeah, I won't take anything away from him. But the best,
St. George, love is always love to hear St. George Fire Church Choir. But lovely tone, love to hear the song real good. But just saying, absolute best, calling. We fighting you on that. Good evening, Derek man. How have things been going so far for you, bro?
Man, it's not been too bad.
Still teaching,
still working. Celebrating my birthday indoors yesterday. But
happy belated birthday from me and everybody at StarCon, buddy. Thank you.
So I am celebrating for the rest of the year due to the fact that the first half of the year seems to be a bit of a bust. So I'll be celebrating into 2021. But outside of that, I can't really complain. I've managed to be safe, and I am grateful, forever grateful for that,
Safe and healthy so far, but that's not a small feat anymore. You know, one thing, you take that for granted, you wake up, you're good. You will take that for granted, all right? Obviously, we're praying because we pray, man, and not be just like the prayer, oh God, our Heavenly Father, thank you all. You know, we like that. But we just do it like as a formality, but really know in these things.
Yeah, you got to put a little bit more meaning behind it.
It's a real blessing.
That is a fact. That's
would be that. Imagine that. That is crazy, bro.
You consider the little things, you know.
When
we first went on lockdown and stuff like that, you know, your family members and stuff, you can't really go and interact with as you would be accustomed to. Your friends, you know, you can't interact with. So
if you don't live with granny, you can't hug you. You can't go and hug
you.
Like me, I won't hug my children because they don't live with me.
Exactly. You understand
the gravity of that, But we can get through. I'm glad you had to share some positivity, same word. The work was going good. Teacher, you're a profession as a teacher, one of them.
Yeah.
You see that going good. How you find the online experience teaching? I know, obviously, it's not ideal, but it's something that we would like to use along with. You know, it's something we like to do along with, and it's something good for your future to do along with or also. But how you finding it? No, that is the only thing. How are you coping through that?
Well, you have your little challenges with anything that is new, that's coming on string. You've got some challenges, but I guess the new thing is patience. You've got to be patient with most things. You have a little glitch here and there, but you're kind of seeing it through, working it through. You can't afford to get too flustered with it. I know some of the parents and the children have some issues dealing with it, but again, some patience is just required on everybody's part to get through. It's not an ideal situation for anybody, but you're trying your best to make it work and work with the situation that you have, because you really can't do any better right now.
Well, good. But I love that. And of course, Barbados, he's speaking as Derek. It so happens that he's a teacher, but he's in no way representing the ministry. He's just speaking as what he finds, and I'm glad that you can shed positive light on it. You understand? Yeah. I know you got to make sure we clear these things before we go on the conversation. That he's speaking as Derek and not, well, this is what happened in ministry. You know, it's good. You say it's not ideal for anyone, of course, but you're saying for now, it's the best we could do, and you're making it work. So I'm glad. So that means that it's not impossible. It's something that we can do for now to continue development of children for now. And I'm glad to hear that positive. Because, you know, you say negative, but I'm glad you share positively on it, Derek, for real.
Yeah, man.
All right, good. Shaquille.
Yes, sir.
Blessings. How things going with you, my brother?
I've been good, you know. Using the downtime to, you know, brush up half songwriting, actually getting into some new skills like production and stuff like that. So it's been okay.
Gosh, no. But get into producing, no boy.
I just trying to learn stuff, I guess. Probably looking to do probably next year in, you know, branching out into songwriting for other artists as well. So in terms of like doing demos and possibly, you never know, I might produce one or two songs for myself, but until I'm ready, fully ready for that, I ain't gonna jump into that lane as yet.
No, that's good. But I know you're talented. I know you're a talented man, especially with your hands, and I see you push your business as well. See a lot of the people pushing your business brand as well besides you. So that's a good thing. As a businessman, an artist, how you find the two at this time? I know it's difficult, but I just want your experience getting through it and what you've been doing to get through it as a business person and as an artist.
Well, for me, I try to tie businesses as well too. So it's more like we already know there's no crop over. So
yeah.
And we can probably get to that later in the day. But for me, I just try to keep active, come up with new ways and new ideas. And now this is for business. Business out there. The good thing about me is that once they see me put out something, and they usually just support, and I guess that the kind of love that I have, not only from being an artist, but I guess my personality and stuff, people support, and I'm very grateful and thankful for that. So I'll just be trying to keep myself active, find creative ways, you know, and try to bring new ideas on.
Right, so let the people know what you do, let people know what you do also. Let people know what business we're speaking about, please.
Well, me, besides music, I was able to create a printing business.
Correct.
I assist in terms of like selling stuff like rotis and stuff. I always like post and help other young people, you know.
Well, that's what you see. Because I see a lot, don't be only yours.
Correct.
But it's too personal, like it's yours.
Right, and I think that's what we need to do to help each other. Because for me, when I put out my music, and I say when I put out my business and stuff like that, people tend to share them and stuff like that. You could help. Simplest thing, like, it doesn't cost you, it doesn't take anything off of you, you know, to just promote or share or help young and upcoming business. It's not even going to be upcoming business. It just could be a business of a friend. You know, so it don't cost you anything to just share it and post it. Use your platform, use your audience to help somebody else. And I think that's what we need to, as young people, to understand. Just share and help. You know, it could go a long way. And it don't take anything off of me to post, to tell somebody, well, look, this going on, try and come and help. They understand, because at the end of the day, it works both ways. When they got my thing, they will post it, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, and it don't turn off of you, but I mean it, and it's a real good thing, because like, these few posts are saying about this pampering, they come to God, but then if you do a food, friends that might go out here or nails, people that might be selling clothes, people that be doing all different businesses, oh, it's you post, but you post it the same way, or you push it the same way you push yours. This is funny.
And that's the thing. And they just don't do it for doing it. Say, like, I will post it and put a caption on it to let people know, like, you know, this is the new hot thing. Like, this is. Because at the end of the day, I try to be genuine with it and not just post it just for posting it, say, if you get what I mean. At the end of the day, I like to see other people get about me, but if I can help somebody else, who are, you know, try to help as much as I can. That's just me. That's just my personality. It ain't got nothing for me doing it to trying to reach anything in the long run, or it's just me genuinely like help or push.
No, of course, Jesse, because, bro, like, it's just you do it and you don't even mention it. You know what I mean? Are you mentioning it? No. You know what I mean? Like, any conversations and anything you will bring up, or if you're doing interviews, you will push things, but you will never move like if, yes, like doing this, you move like if this is mine. It belongs to me, and they're pushing it, which is a different energy, which is the energy that I like. And like you said, once we keep doing that, and all we connect it that, bro, like, we can see the change in a couple of years. But we got, it got to be genuine. Like you said, it got to be genuine. So it got to be, like, if it's yours, you got to love it the same way you love yours. So it got to be genuine. Like you see, from the start, before we had, like, we got to go a lot online concerts and all that.
Yeah.
But shot before you see any online, you start this here from beginning, before it was as bad as it was, before the many restrictions, so you having concerts online, before you put on IG and Facebook, if you was doing them both places, and
yeah,
it was used, but you were doing it different, you didn't just sit down in front of your phone, you had your phone set up, and had you had like a malicious like people in your thing, right? If you had the lights, and if you had the microphone stand, and the song that was piano was good, and after now, then they seen it happening all over. But before you decided to do this before all over, instead of just because everybody was doing, even me, just singing on the phone, you know, I've got your phone there, front camera or whatever, just singing, you know, it looked good and sound good still, but you do a whole concert, you'd call it, I think, front house.
In the living room.
In your living room. But you jump and do a whole concert before, like, you the first person you saw doing it. What sparked that? If you see it somewhere, or you just decide, man, see me, I'm going all out from now.
I just, like, as I tell you, I sit down and try to think of new things and new ideas. The first night I did it, I just said, you know what, I feel like, entertain, because at the end of the day, right, the people that follow you on social media, they follow you because content that you, they follow you because, they're like, not only they like you as an artist, but they like your content, they like your music, and they like your image, they like your brand.
Yeah, content and brand, boy, they do two things, correct, right. Go ahead.
So for me, how can I do something now? And for me, it was more like a give back because I didn't have no GoFundMe. I didn't have any links to no PayPal, anything on it. For me, it was just a more like a give back something for that follow me. And I realized I did it one night and I just set it up with the screen. I had it like, I streamed both on Instagram and Facebook at the same time. And I don't know, I just wanted to do something to give back. And the first night, going back by the response, I decided to turn it into a full in the concert, in the living room concert. And it was just a full production from then. But for me, it was just an idea. And
yes. Full production, be that. What happened? It's what? Full production, and the response was crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised by the response.
The response was crazy, be that. That would mean, like, I wasn't surprised, obviously. But, like, I guess you could be surprised. Pleasantly surprised. Let me use that word. Because, like, we ain't saying, my beard won't come out and hear good singing, or we ain't saying, well, when the boy don't follow me, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's always a pleasant surprise. I was expecting the response, but when you see you do it and then the full production and people really respond, but then you was able to feed off the response. So then you see you adding covers, which is also your favorite songs. And then from your response, Shaki, because, like, you know what I mean? No, I like to, like, dissect everything, right? So I was looking at some of the comments. The second one you did, and it was streaming Fierce But Live. I was looking at some of the comments, and then you was telling people that you're going to perform some of your favorite songs that you like. And some of the favorite songs might have been topics that you want to sing about, or might have been styles that they want to think that you like. But then I see people now responding to you different, and then I saw the audience grow. So I didn't know if that was a tactic you purposely use or a marketing scheme, but I thought it was brilliant. Like, you're singing these different songs that people will normally hear you sing or know you sing, but they're not like, yeah.
Glad you put that. Because
Shaq, you sing, but on this topic here, we never hear Shaq talk about names. So, you know, for me, you know, like, I might feel that I know you. Then I got people that know you better than me, obviously. And then you got friends and family. So, like, they may know you, but they may know that feeling know you. I knew you differently because of that life. Bro, I wonder if that was purposely done, throwing in those types of songs you were throwing in as purpose to telling the people, these are my favorites, period.
Yeah,
that was a marketing scheme? How that happened?
It was just a plan or a strategy. Because like I tell you, the first one...
Oh, you had a plan out? Talk to me.
The first one that I did,
was
more of a, let me just sing and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
I had strategized it because it was like, all right, you got the engagement from the people on social media. They come into you, your page every Thursday night. But for me now, and you'll probably see it in the next set of music that I release pretty soon. I was trying to sing music to people to see that, you know, I am not only the slow, groovy singing.
Oh!
Anything.
Oh!
People don't tell you down in, oh, he's just an artist, or he's just, I just doing music, you understand? And the next songs that I release now, you will probably see that, you will say, well, I didn't know that Shaq used this type of music, but if you were following this, you will know that I just like music, regardless. It was kind of a plan, and I sat down and I had like a running order to time and stuff like that. So like when this particular time, the set of music we were going to play, this will be thing, stuff like that. So everything was more planned out.
Let me slow down, cause I like how you're talking here, right? Cause, and I'm sure Derek will like this here too, cause you're going from the educated side. No, cause when you do a running order and say you want this come at this time, like this is like science, psychological, no, like. Derek would know when you would G signal kit and when doing one around the order, Derek, you would know about you would say about, all right, if so you at the Korean and at the where always perform, I will release well at a certain time, you know that at a certain time this amount of people can be here so we can play this song now. Which is which is psychological. You understand, like,
for sure. So it's a strategy, without doubt. You like you're set to flow a certain way, and what you realize too is that people come in during your show as well. So I would normally put our original material a little further down inside the set so that people will actually get to hear it, as opposed to performing the original material at the top of the set when there aren't as many people there. So as you say, set construction is definitely a skill. And you should definitely look at how you're going to plan it out, and you want to make sure that you grab people's attention early with something that they know, something that's familiar to them. You hook them that way, and then after that, you got a little bit more leeway with what you in terms of what you're going to sing or perform, but you got to make sure you hook them with that very, very first song, and then you've got a little bit more latitude in terms of what you want to do.
I like this. Good songs. No, you do that live. You do that live. I hear Shaq. He was doing it. Shaq was doing not here. I was witnessing it myself. So Shaq, you saying, well, although you on live, you paying attention to when people might be coming into. Because Derek right. said, well, he would do certain songs later down, do certain songs before these songs, so he could hook them, and he purposely and I know Derek. So Derek purposely used the word hook. Hook, so you will hold them there, like, I want you to stop here, you know what I mean?
Correct.
And in case anybody come on new and just passing through, because we all do that, like, we all pass through to see which one we want to see, in case anybody passing through at this time, it's for this time, to keep them there. So he was doing that live in person, but you saying you were doing this live on social media, where you was employing the same technique and strategy?
Correct. Because at the end of the day, as an artist, and I realized this from having a catalog, because obviously I only been in the like 6 years, so my catalog wasn't as big before as it is now. It wasn't the biggest, but I could choose like which songs I want to use at which point in time that I know. Because it was like around 9 o'clock or so on the live, I find that I used to be at the highest number, 9:30-ish, going into that. Because I tried to finish by at least, so I realized around that time there used to be a lot of numbers on. So I tend to sing particular songs at these times to keep just be flicking through lives and popping in and popping back out. So I tried to do things at that time to keep them, and then I would always end off with my songs or songs that weren't as popular as my other songs, to let people know, all right, this is a Shaq-U song. You probably don't know this, but you could go and check it out on YouTube or check it out on the streaming platforms or whatever. You have to always tell them the songs before you sing them and ask. But like,
nice boy, very, very, very smart, brother. There you see whole two different worlds. But the same world as the entertainment, but I mean music might be different. You're doing a cappella mainly, and you do the club setting, but a cappella with your group. But you and Shaq-U are playing the same techniques and strategy across the board to play people mind, that's the wrong word.
To get people involved and interested in what you're doing.
To create a vibe.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, sure. And that goes across genres too, because even in terms of when you play in a church setting, I, as a man that sang in choirs, conducted choirs and stuff like that too, I would always make sure I have something that's usually upbeat, very catchy and stuff like that. At the top of the show, you come through the concert, you have little different sections and stuff like that, and then you make sure you finish with a real strong song. Right, that's something that's gonna grab everybody and hold everybody. So it's the same thing, even if it is classical, if it is soca, reggae, pop music. The same principles apply. Hook everybody at the top. Make sure you got their interest, and then it makes your set after that a complete breeze. It's way easier that way, as opposed to. Because people would make up their mind if they're going to listen to you within the first 30, 40 seconds of you actually starting. So you got to make sure that first 30, 40 seconds that you hook them, that they're usually there with you for a little bit, unless you generally try to send them to sleep after that. But once you hook them in the first 30, 40 seconds, you got an easy gig after that. And that's whether you're doing classical music, as I said, or Gregorian chant. It makes no difference once you hook them early.
Nice, and I like that. And Shaq, you said you would find the same thing online. If you catch them, when you first on the live, and then you let a lot of people to come on, how you gauge that? How you gauge the difference in that? Derek said, "Well, he got he got the audience there already. They can trickle in, obviously, but he got the audience there." So the first 40 seconds, he capturing them. You know you're going on the live. You get to certain numbers, and then you sing this song to catch into. You will play the same technique or noise on social media?
Exactly. Same way, because sometimes when the live now starting, because what I normally do is I start the live, you know, put the branding on the screens and everything. So, this is in it. I got the camera, and that, you can see the branding, the logo and stuff like that. Then I start with the anthem to get people to know what are this is. We ready, showtime ready. And based on the numbers, when I come in, I will always got in my mind sounds to choose from. Either you can check the numbers and the numbers not high enough, it's either you can come with one of your more popular them in, or with decent numbers, you could start with a song that they don't know. But I shouldn't say they don't know, but it's as popular as the others, and get them familiar with that one. And then, good though, is to start the live. Well, for me, what I would do to start live, instead of just singing hard, I would set it with like a poor kind of version and both of these.
I like that.
First sell it to them and then whatever after that. But it all depends on, and like Derek said, just sometimes they got to capture them.
True.
Don't let them go, because in mind, the attention span is, sometimes they could be very short. So like, play this thing, you can do singing the wrong song at the wrong time. So it's very important
to
perform, you understand? Like, all right, so like, let's say, for instance, you're going to a particular show and artist, you understand? And you realize that you really like this one song from this artist, and you find that you sing it probably at the end of the show when you already turn off. So it's be important. I don't know if a lot of artists really put a lot in prioritizing how they do their set. But for me, it's like, when I do my set, I make sure that, depending on the crowd or the event, I would know, well, this is a younger crowd, so let me go with a song that they can catch them early, get them partying, and then we could go however after that. If it's a more mature crowd, or if it's a crowd that you know appreciate every song that you have, then you could be a more flexible, you could be a bit more flexible with it. But it's very important to plan where you hit the stage, whether it's either online or in person.
Well, nice. So you hear that, Kate, again, Sam, and everyone is going to be coming to get some tips and some techniques and here. And I'm here teaching some knowledge too from the two brothers. You know me that way. You ask questions for me too. Just being honest and real. You know me. I love to learn. I love to know that I know something, and I know it real good now. I love that. So I respect that the brothers take time out to explain it in so much detail, because many artists don't do it. And not that they can't, but sometimes, you know, as an artist, you always got to be running, you always got to be doing things. So you got to get to the music, you got to get to Shaquille, you got to get to Derek. All right, G-Syndicate doing this week, G-Syndicate doing this next week, you know what I mean? Which is imperative, you have to. But sometimes we all just did is important too, because some of you just don't know there. And they find, like, a lot of times as artists, the things that you all just explain, and there's so much detail. I could see from performances and from a lot of the youngsters I deal with, so that we could talk about my children, because the mega mind get offended, so that we could use Youth in Spotlight and Quantum. I find that a lot of the times, the wrong song, the wrong time, you just don't know, because you might be feeling it. So sometimes when you're feeling it, what I'm feeling. So you might be feeling that this song, it's so good, you know, and I get, like, personally, Shaq and Derek and me, we in the crowd, we can really enjoy it because we're musicians. So we can say, you hear that run? Or me and Shaq, you hear the harmonies there? We can lick it. But then the crowd wasn't on that. But then I noticed, and even in Southern, I find it's a fact, yeah, in competition too. You know what I mean? What you do at what time? I find all these things so psychological, Derek and Shaq. I find it so psychological, bro. Like, timing. Like, getting timing is not as easy. So, and I'm pleasantly surprised that you're all going to fully be clear about it. Because I find it really important, especially for children, Derek, as you as a teacher know, especially for children and performing. And like you said, you conduct choirs. And I've seen you conduct choirs years and years. This more than a decade. For sure, it's true. I see you doing it. As young as you are, believe it or not. But I find with children too, you, honestly, like, as a teacher, because me, like, Seneca, I mean, on radio, I just struggle with it. Like, or you can't help children. They go do six songs direct. All right, your children really want to do this song. But we can't do this song. And if your children don't do this song, to make them do the song they want to do as good. So, working out your set for children, Derek. Or 20s or kids. I know it cool. I just want people to understand how hard teaching is be sometimes. You know what I mean? But the real reward of calling it work out, boys. Make it crazy. Bring tears to your eyes. But working out your set for children, Derek. You can't know your children, though. You're doing some of your children. And getting the children do it in this order. So getting them believing it at rehearsal, at practice, at school, right?
But that's where it starts, you know, in the preparation. Right. Because right. Shaquille was talking about the flexibility of being able to say, all right, I'm going to do this song at this time. And then you realize, all right, it's not going how I expected. Let me do this song instead. So that comes with preparation and being able and from experience to be able to read the audience, whether it be on live, a live show or online, the ability to look at the audience and say, okay, this is an older audience, so let me do X instead of Y. But that only comes with preparation. So you have to spend a lot of time practicing your instrument, rehearsing and stuff like that. So when you come to perform, whether, again, live or on an online situation, you have the ability to say, all right, I would want to do this song right now, but I don't think that is the crowd ready for this yet. So let me push that back and do something else.
I'm being humbly there. I'm being humbly enough. Accept it.
for sure. Because you can't be self-indulgent as an artist or a performer. You're not performing for yourself. Your performance is always for somebody else. So you have to be reading and constantly mindful of the audience in front of you. It must be a bit more difficult in an online situation where you're not seeing people. But in a live setting, definitely you have to be able to look around the room and kind of gauge the temperature quickly and say, all right, but it don't make sense here doing this song that nobody don't know. Let me scrap that and do a bit more popular song, see if we could get these people back into it or whatever. You know, so that comes with experience, that comes with performing all the time. And then you need to have a repertoire as well, and that only comes from preparation. If you don't put in that work before, when you get on the bandstand, you have no choice but to play what is there, what you've prepared. And if you only prepare 10 songs and the audience want 12, but you're struggling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's all about preparation.
Must have Derek Marshall, G Signicate say you must have a repertoire, but repertoire only comes from preparation. You must have a repertoire, but repertoire only comes from preparation. That is some gems right there. Now, Shot, you work with a team for your online that is Gage. Like, because you performing, but it seems to me that you know what's going on still. You wasn't near the phone or tablet, whatever you was using. You had the microphone, you was back near the radio, whatever it was, and you were standing up singing. But it seemed that you would know what was going on. That was just coincidence, or you had a team?
I had a mini team, more family.
Still, they the best team. Because you had me tricked, right? So you had boys open and ready to sing. Wait. Shot know what these people are saying, you know what I'm saying? Or you know what's going on, yeah? You be far from your phone, you can see very good. All the tears are out of yourself.
I have people reading the comments to tell me, all right, what people are saying, how the feeling was the voice. All right, yeah, this is something to hit at this time then. Or if it's a case where we got a scrap, but I shouldn't say scrap, but make a little beat, a plan. That's operate. So yeah, it was more like a team effort. I had like a little mini sound system and stuff like that too, so.
Well, it's real serious, boy. I love this. You got bigger the family. You have to bigger your family because if I see it, other people see it. They come against me. Just that. I'm privileged to say to thousands of people, no. You know what I mean? But I'm sure that other people, they're listening, saying, I really is that too. You know what I mean? So you got the bigger your family for real because you have me good. Like, be it. Shot doing a set and you see these songs flowing. But then shot moving, like, or if art people's we can do this song here now. I seen really, like, it look like shot playing this song here now for the people. So it seems with shot gonna be working with a team. Boy, this look a show. You know, this look like a show. Well, if you say well, art pay this $5 true floor or digital or whatever, and getting an hour of shock you, it will pay $5 free. It look like that already, and. But you know, understand that you said that it was all planned. You had a team. Because you're saying, whoa, this sign up appear for, and that would say, make me look at you different. No. Obviously, you know, you had a lot of good songs. I know you love your voice because your voice is similar to if I deep in singing soca, you still saying it like. You understand? But then when it's, you know, so much different styles, but still shock you. Which would be difficult because sometimes, to be honest, in Barbados, especially if you start going to a gimmick, so you might even see the great score do it. So you might see the great Gabby, you know, singing a dress. Or you might see, then they got people like the great Karu, you know, Sandy Vizgar. But although they're going to different styles, you know, you always see is still Gabby. You don't care. He could be singing Wacky Wacky or he could be singing Emerton.
different completely, but still you could still feel the cabin dark. And you'd be singing some of the faster music, and so they still hear you in essence. So it's saying you, Shaq could do it all up on stage, yeah. It's saying you, Shaq could do it all up on stage, comfortable. We're talking about you, I'll show in front of a full band, yeah, which is saying that the wider public, people see it, but the wider public ain't see it in that extent yet. I mean, how easy you do it. It's saying you, Shaq, you could do an hour with a full backing band, live band, an hour, comfortable. And if you're saying that much people ain't know, how long this was that you were that prepared for such long a set? Because people may look at you as a new artist, but I see you look seasoned. You could sing for hours. How long was this prepared?
For a while. My thing is, when I had as much as people know, but in 2015, I did music, and then, that was my first time on a big stage.
Did I party Mark Finals?
Yeah, party Mark Finals. That was back.
Yeah, with the fast song.
Fast song, yeah.
You know, people that you know. That was the first time you went finals, right? But you know, because this play was so different from that people forget that that's how you come in the game.
It's true. Because I don't think I ever sang a song after that until last year, 2019.
Just
the collaboration. So that was, that was, whoa.
You know, you're right. After that, you went to your ragga soca vibe.
Okay, yeah.
So you this without is true no studying. So you have to be disappeared every since.
Correct.
Which is good.
Yeah, and I always knew that to be a good, not necessarily a good artist, but to be a good entertainer, you gotta be able to sing a catalog of songs on stage. And really entertain the people, because at the end of the day, that's how you just get these people to love you and support you and eventually become fans. You gotta be able to prove to them, you know, why you should love your music. Why should they love you as an entertainer? And
hello, you saying that? Not take it for granted. You got I love that shot. You got to prove to them instead of just taking it for granted. Well, like, good, I sing good, I'm a good looking fella. You know what I mean? So then they love me. Instead of taking it for granted, you saying, well, you got the feeling, but they have to prove it to them still. That
right.
You still have that feeling all now today, 2020.
Yeah, still feel the same way. Because for me, you know what I realize? Mm. I realize that nowadays, the emergence of like technology, social media, stuff like that, anything could become a hit. You understand? I think anybody can hit. I think any song can become a hit. There's a possibility.
No, you're correct.
Right, becoming a hit. You understand? But when you get this hit and you don't know how to transition this to hit, and the next year, you ain't, there can be no more you. Because at the end of the day, you got this song, and you don't know how to get over to the people. I'm far better than nobody else the next year. And I feel like that's what happened. I just, you don't be next year, or you don't see the year after that. You want to say, but we'll become a so-and-so. So for me, it was more building myself, my craft, myself as a complete artist. So that when the opportunity come now, I was always planning from. When I started, I always had a plan. I was like, all right, this is what you can do. You can try to become a well-rounded performer. You can build a catalog of songs. You can build your brand. From the time you start, build your brand the same thing. You must go a building, but eventually, when you reach a certain you can ready to know, no scramble to build a brand. Your brand has grew with you from when you started. When you reach to this point now, you already got your brand, you already got your imaging, you already got the catalog, you already got sound, you already established yourself. It's like sometimes people do music, but they haven't their style. They just point out music, but they may find the style as yet. So for me, I was just practicing that all along the way. So when I reach a point where now, a catalog of not only music, but a catalog of hits, I'll be able to easily call me and come into this country and do this gig. Let me start with this thing. The next thing for me probably is getting my own band, but I ain't want to rush into that. Yeah, I just want to continue building everything slowly. when I reach that point where I can get my band and probably make a tour, then that's the next step for me. But for me, I've been always preparing from the time I started. I didn't want it to be a case where I eventually got what I wanted, which would have been, because you always got a plan. And not only in music, but in business, everything is just got a plan. And once you put that plan in place, sometimes it don't work as fast or you would like it. But eventually, you know, when everything comes together, trust me.
Yeah, everything is set.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah, everything in steps. And what you're saying is important. It's important to go a plan so that, you know, you can work a moving steps. So this is something that is important for young artists to know, and children. Like, you know, like I keep saying, Derek and myself work with children a lot. This is really important to know. Even if, like, say, they could even carry to primary school, because I love teaching primary school children. So say working with Holy Innocent Primary School Choir, it's important that know about, listen, primary school, we want to learn these 10 songs in these 6 months, but we want the 10 songs that we can holler about. We got 3 calypsos, we got 3 reggaes, we got 2 folk songs, we got 2 folk songs, so that we ain't just got, when we go to a gig, all we got to sing is these slow songs, you know, so we could change it. If you go to a young crowd, we could sing these 3 soakers. If you go to church, we could sing these 3 church songs. And so like, what Shaq's saying is something that I, Kevin Watson, like, you believe that we should teach any children from primary school that development. There is it something that you also consider when you're teaching the children, bro?
Well, you always want to be versatile, especially coming up from, as you say, from small. You encourage the children to be a bit more diverse so that you have, as you say, options, because you can't do the same thing at every show, at every gig. So even at that stage, if you have the ability to be a bit more flexible, to be a bit more versatile, because as you said, you know, you go to a different gig and you got options. I think I would have alluded to that earlier when it's all about the preparation.
Yeah.
You still don't want to prepare all of the same thing. If you bring it forward to what we would do at the
Korean,
for example. Yeah. At the Korean, for example, I divide up the set into different slots, different suites. So I would have a section for just 90s music. So that would be just the R&B stuff and that kind of thing, Boyz II Men and all that. Then they have a section that is just Caribbean music. So you can find your reggae, you can find your soca in there.
Nice.
We got a segment for just contemporary pop music. So stuff for Justin Timberlake, we'll find in there, Bruno Mars, that kind of thing would be in that set. Then we got another little set too for classic, so you can find all your back in time music, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson.
I like this, but this history and time period also be like,
yeah, man.
Small, if you're doing this in primary school, bro.
No. This is stuff you would do with the Korean or with G Syndicate.
No. Yeah. But just saying you would do with G Syndicate, but he's saying if you're teaching children. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
You teach children, we're doing, I think, family. Right.
Right.
Which you will do a primary school, but you will also do amateur with a primary school.
Exactly.
Completely different time periods, 2 completely different styles. So that way, saying it's still teaching history. You see,
exactly.
Culture, you see, time.
The primary school I'm at, Arthur Smith Primary School, we like to do that kind of thing. So our choir has sung stuff from Natalie Bird.
Correct.
And stuff from Sparrow.
Correct.
So we try to incorporate that kind of stuff as well, so the children get a wide base. And they, for graduation, you will see all of that stuff coming out, things from the contemporary gospel music. We will do that as well. Then even dance pieces, the normal pop music and stuff like that too. So it's a wide range of music that you will cover even at that age.
Yeah, like, and
10, 11 years old.
And quite a lot. You just mentioned Natalie Burton name, and so you just want to say quite a lot. I realize Natalie Burton.
didn't get mentioned, especially when you talk about music and history. Natalie's name is popping out. Like, yeah, they've been speaking about Kishina and someone who, the only person who ever did a duet with Kishina, and the person was Natalie Burke, too. I just find that real strange that Natalie's name is popping in history. So, and you know, seeing that your primary school children do songs with Natalie Burke.
Yeah, man.
That's phenomenal, bro. You know what I mean? Like, phenomenal. A Belgian too. So that, and a Belgian woman, a Belgian black woman too. So you know what I mean? They just go out right from them things. So salute, Natalie Burke. Now, Derek, when I meet you, say meet you 20 years ago. You the real young. But I first saw you with Goodwill Singers. And Goodwill Singers is a group that I love, right? But I used to look at them like my grandfathers.
Yeah,
but everybody, could have seen regularly. Like, cool, you know how cool.
That's my guy.
See, Rastaman, real cool, real disciplined, dressed real sharp, very pleasant. You know, he and everybody's agree good. And this Rastaman come up there and singing these church songs and these classical songs and voice big. And yeah, then I will see all the old men. Then I will see a little man. She's a man with the earring in the ear too.
Yeah.
but when they see the little man with the mane, bro, the mane used to be like, well, you were so loving. I just say, yo, that used to put so much things in my mind, because me coming from where I come from, right, like how it is, you know, like certain things you don't want to do or you might not want to be so bored with it. Because, you know, as a boy, a young black boy too, you got to be a certain way. But you see, like, you used to be afraid. Like, you real young, you had to got friends with you who are running about, playing, you know what I mean, doing whatever as boys you do. Not bad, you know what I mean? Just being a boy, running about, pitch marble, cricket, football, basketball, whatever. You know, singing, you leg dub, you go, you're walking up. Like, them are things that we all love. But, you mean, I will see you a lot. And I mean a lot. Everywhere you see this little man, like you say, earring in the ear, and the man accepts you, and you singing, and I mean you got a major role with these men that I used to be considered like my grandfathers. Really, how that happened? Be how you get to be so young with the Gilbert Singers, and the man so accepting, like it was like that for real. Not asking the main business, but it was like that for, because when you still look real loving, like you used to see with the man as you was one of the men as a little man, I used to be so jealous.
Yeah, man, I was one of the men. I started thinking of the Singers, I mean, I was 17 years old. To provide a little perspective there, one of the guys, the closest person in age to me, the Goodwill Singers, his son sings with me now in G-Syndicate. Right? So, he's 27 years old. So that was
he's 20.
To let you know how that goes, right?
How the age range was. I mean, how that happened, B?
I was like a son to them men. Because most of them, now that I think about it, most of them had children that are older than I am, you know? So I guess I just love singing, you know? I just love the singing and love the camaraderie as well. So it was real easy to go out and just sing with them. I did my first tour with them in 1990. I was 10 years old. We sang for an ordination of a bishop in Florida.
Wait, whoa. You were 10?
I was 10. Yes.
Me and a couple of other boys. That's crazy. We Florida at 10. Touring at 10, sorry. Like, and I like these stories, and I like to get these stories first from Starcom, because these things that we need youngsters to hear. Know how you got to be a 10-year-old with these experienced singers. I'm talking about you going Florida on tour at 10.
How dare you be?
How'd that happen?
Well, obviously they had to ask my mother if she would allow me to go.
How you getting the group so young?
That's a really good question. I guess they figured that I had the ability, you know. So I went for that trip in particular. in 1910. They did, and that was during the school time too. That was around November or so, if I remember correctly. So we went and we did that trip. It was a week in Canada, in Florida, sorry. Interesting story. We could see Disneyland from where we were. It was myself and like four or five other boys on that trip. But we never went. You know, we could see the lights that night, but we weren't allowed to go. That was my first introduction into whole day rehearsals. So your rehearsal start at 9, you break for lunch around 12, you finish 7 or 8 o'clock in the night, you know what I mean?
And at 10 years old,
yeah. So then we fast forward 1994. 1994, we went to another tour this time to Toronto and Montreal.
Oh, my place, boy, my place.
That tour was something else, man. I talk about that tour probably once a week. You know, it's something about it that just be funny.
They had quite a young teenager back then, 13, 14.
Yeah. And the good thing is at that time, they took 10 boys from St. Mary's Square on that trip, and we had a
blast. Salute the Gobel Singers, man.
Yeah.
Which church choir? Just say a little louder for the people in St. George.
Yeah, St. Mary's.
Okay.
St. Mary's,
that was
man.
That was Ronnie. That was Ronnie calling that name, though, right? Like, the girl, like, slower boy, that's a phenomenal experience. Like, 10 boys from St. Mary's.
Yeah, man.
You
talk about the seeing other things going on and having to turn your eye to them, even though you would want to do other things, but that's where discipline comes in. Because in 90, it was Disneyland, but then we sang at St. Michael and All Angels in 1994 in Toronto. And that was on the same day, the concert was the same day of the World Cup final. And I would never forget, when they came out of the church, all the cars were passing on the street and stuff with Brazil flags flying and stuff like that. And that was a real surreal experience, because they'd never seen anything like that in person. So that was truly, truly interesting for me at 14 to watch that, you know? So, you go and you see those things, but you can't really be a part of them because you are down there for something else. So then in like 1999, they did Toronto and Montreal again, and that's when they went as a full-fledged member then of the Gilville Singers. I drank my first rum with the Gilville Singers, my first brandy with the Gilville Singers, you know? I did a lot growing up with the Gilville Singers. I am still very, very good friends with all those guys. So, yeah, man, show the Gilville Singers for real.
Oh, for sure, man. Those are like one of the unsung heroes, you know, that you typically won't hear about, you know, like national radio. But it's good every once in a while to let people know about these people. I used to watch the Gilville Singers as a youngster. I watched you in it. And then I started to find interest in classical music and chorale music. It's always too young and love this. And telling Mr. Ford at St. Michael's School, you know, I end up being young. But I really like classical music, and it's always so that was mainly because you see here the Gilville Singers, because I can tell a secret, well, in Barbados, besides the Gilville Singers, there are much other all male groups that I hear singing like classical music and that kind of music, believe it or not.
They got a couple.
I thought for me, and especially going to enough different churches, because almost every Sunday, you will know this, I had a point in time when every Sunday the police band and the Gilville Singers were playing the same gig.
That's a fact.
It could be St. Philip the Less, it could be St. Mary's, it could be St. Thomas Parish Church. We could go on there. We know all the churches that we meet at. All over, and it was always a Gilville Singer, so I wasn't hearing much more. But it made me start to like it, because he's saying, if you could like it, and you was one of the youngest people with them.
Yeah,
not one of them. The only youngest with them. But every church gave you had to go to the Gilville Singers. That you know, you got here Gilville Singers or you church. Every time around the police band got playing with Nani.
That is so true. Who's the Nani, man?
And the Gilville Singers got to sing, I'm never a baby like Jesus, never, never, never a baby like Jesus, never, never. You all have to do that. Have to. You got to hear you. You got to hear top man down, her harmony, cooing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's especially cool. You know, I know how, at this time, I used to love to sing. I used to want to know how the people in the church know what part you singing. Because you're singing, when you're singing the song, you're all singing the song, Derek. And then you might get some sweet part, her part, you know, and people get on bad when you're done, or a girl tugging you, shit. How they know Derek singing? How they know Derek singing this part? Like, all the singers there, how they know you is who singing this part? You should always have me.
Man, the older folk, I guess, they had an ear for it.
Yeah,
so they love the church music, so they kind of know who's doing what. I never see the older guys too, and they know their voices as well. And then they hear mine. Mine was a little different, so it'd be easy to pick me up.
Oh, right. From obviously, yeah, no, you say it's true because they would have been doing it a long time. So
yeah.
They know that. So they know this young boy coming here with this new thing of hearing, even if they know. Even if they know what it is, with this new thing in here and this young boy, this garbage, he. Oh my God,
yeah,
is it good? But the Gilbert singers, national treasures.
For sure.
And that is real talk, you know what I mean? So if one ain't know, when they're hearing it, he ain't know the Gilbert singers and Barbie, this national treasures. They go going years and years of fantastic singing. If he ain't 40 years, they go be very close.
Yeah, it's over 40 years.
It's over 40?
Over 1979. Formed in 1979.
Whoa!
Yeah. Big up Ronald Cummings. Ronald Cummings, he's the founding member, and I think he's the only one that's still alive right now.
The boy, that's 41 years, B.
Yeah, man.
That's a very long time to be together, you know what I mean? I ain't 41 yet. So that's
exactly.
Still in my 30s, B. That is great, B, you know? Blow my mind. 1979, they was doing
that. Yeah, man.
Make it go with singers, right? So you just start from primary school, Derek. This love for music and the bug that is bite all of you. You know, about blam boy. I love this thing. This happened in primary school for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Wesley Hall. And
this
camera
there. It's feeling like for most great musicians. Have got some parts of it. I talk real people. Even Mikey, that was in the syndicate with you. Shout out to Mikey.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Mikey, you know, we all know Mikey. Remember Wesley Hall, Shaka, Bobo, Lorenzo,
Lori.
Lori Leon, boy, Lori. Real people. Lori and his brother. And he always talk with this man. That I never get to meet this here, but Mr. Withers.
Yeah, boy.
I used to hear about this person.
Very exacting standards. Very, very exacting standards. So
how was that experience in primary school and going through this great man for you and this experience with this greatest person that now shaped so many wonderful careers? How you find that experience?
It was fearful at times to watch because back in those days it was Lick's grandmother, man. And you're talking about a man that had different, I would call them weapons, for want of a better word, to administer corporal punishment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, fortunately, because I had a little bit more ability than some boys, I was kind of able to get by and escape some of the punishment that was meted out. But
Keep your sharp, though.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah,
I know it is to be good, but still be afraid. You know what I mean? Not saying that not blooming horn, but you know what it is to be. Sorry, people think that you're good, but still be afraid. Because let me tell you, don't slip because...
You can't slip.
From what you hear, this man, you couldn't slip, Derek. Like, it's nothing but 100%.
And that's a fact. That is a fact.
Well,
the thing about a guy like him, we would have 11 o'clock rehearsal on Saturdays. 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Mr. Withers early for that rehearsal. Never. But you can't come in after him. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Every man's not going to be there by 11.
Because if he ain't early, you can't be later than he.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
I fear.
Stuff like that, you know, real exacting standards, but the music was high quality stuff.
Me, the man had a primary school band playing the trumpeting section in the anthem, the fanfare in the anthem.
Yep.
I had a primary school
clarinet players.
Walker's a player that, you know, crazy that is, Derek.
Yep, yeah, clarinet players. Rommel Hall, for example. That was speaking of crop cleaners and stuff like that, Ronnie would be familiar with Rommel. Some listeners may or may not be. He produces Keeping Up with the Joneses and stuff like that. Rommel Hall used to play in that role. He went on and played at Queen's College as well. Very talented, talented. Plays on keyboard as well. Hugh Griffith teaches at Ignatius Square also.
Right, shout out to him again. You know, he's got like, on something where they keep saying, Hugh Griffith, bro. That man is a genius. I made a workshop that he did for teachers in music. A little while ago, just a one day thing. Bro, the man teach me things that I never think about in terms of concepts and where to teach and where to grasp attention and change the mood of the room, like all the different little techniques.
Yeah. He was a brilliant guy.
Whoa, boy, like, this man, brilliant boy, shout out to you. For sure. Yeah, Mr. Withers, man,
Mr.
Withers, for sure. A day God, like, you know how you got people that you know, although you never meet them? you know too many greats, like, is weird, Derek, like, it being real with you, like, and there's even names that we ain't calling yet. You know what I mean? Like, real people that in music, that prominent. That went through this man's hand that he never meet, just keep hearing about. Because how he can tell you about him and what he do in his primary school orchestra and all that, he never met Reggie Hall.
Exactly. The influence is that big.
Andrea Blackett, who's playing the festival band now, he was one of the primary school children in the Reggie Hall orchestra, I think, playing from primary school.
Okay, then.
Ryan Holder, who's playing the Junior Monarch drummer, Ryan Holder, he's another one. But salute to Mr. Withers for real here. Maybe we gotta do a salute. Maybe we gotta do a proper
Reggie Hall.
One of these days, but salute to Reggie Hall. Reggie Hall too as well. For real, real, real. This is awesome. Shot.
Yes, sir.
Where you got this bug? Where you got this music bite from? What made you tell yourself, you see me? Again, I think it's not soccer this year and you end up in a party more than I know that had to be a whirlwind from just being home to party more finals. And then people like me, going up on the radio crawling, then they tell me you do something wrong or went over time or saying, and that way you didn't win or come second or saying or something to tell me, or you see went over time or whatever, but that year you shot everybody in BIM. How you get there? Where did it start? Where did you get this bug from?
I wouldn't say that I have any musical background. I don't even play an instrument. I come out singing with them, but never sing like a crowd or anything like that. But what made me get into this?
Real thing? Like, real thing? Never?
Yeah, that's sick. I was never never did Monarch, never, you know, anything like that. I just, what happened is, I like a lot of dancing, and then what it was that. I don't know if you guys, are probably familiar with Yanni Hooper. Yanni Hooper is another artist, soca artist as well.
Of course, on me.
Yanni, because we were in the same class, at the same school, I think.
Yanni, shout out Yanni, man, shout out to Yanni for real.
Everybody, Yannick, we went to Griffith together at the time, and I remember Yannick was always into music, because he told me his dad used to manage a band at the time.
Coalition with Rupi Allison and Adrian and Steve Cumberbatch and many, many, many others. Boo was in the band, correct. Not just a little band, a massive band.
Rupert Clark.
Roger was in that band.
TC.
Pee Wee was in that band, and of course, and Jerry was in Coalition originally.
Big
band.
You, Ronnie,
huge.
Correct. And Jerry was there for real.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, it was a top band.
Like, whoa. Wow. I knew that he was always into music. I knew that he loved the music thing. So I remember I did this song before, and I was like, I came up with this song. What was it? I'm from we cut this down, a group of us, and then we did this song and performed it in front of people. I was curious to see how well received it was at that time. We were only in third form at that time. I never really followed up on music after then, but I remember when they went to UV then, they had a Calypso competition. We had a Calypso competition. Yeah, before deadline, I decided, man, I probably would just try it. Because the prize money, the prize money is what attracted me at the time. I was like, you, I could go and sing this competition, this prize money, you know. I mean, I could sing a little something, but I never did this Calypso, so to speak. That was like, can't hurt to try, you know.
It's true.
And when I was on campus, I used to play football for the school as well, too. So, like, I was kind of, like, a popular around UV at that time.
A very good footballer. A very good footballer.
Yeah, he definitely played a little football, but Shaq, we know how good you were, Shaq. Like, it's not a secret anymore. We know how good you were at football.
Football was my first. I thought I would have been a professional by then. I was like, even if the football team just come and jump up for me, I would still be happy with that support. I just wrote the song, and the song was more social commentary song. High and Mighty, and I just went, I recorded the song, I came out in a full, because the song near High and Mighty, I came out in a full King, and performed the song. And I won the competition, and then from there, I was like, you know, maybe this, I should really look to get into full time, like, coming up. So from there, then I did my research.
You read that was what year? 2011?
2012 is when I won the collection.
2011, 2012, you have your own time. Well, that was weird. Pernell Farley.
Yes.
Pernell Farley, who picked the judges at that time?
Pernell Farley is the person that was in charge of the entire musical.
Right.
Pernell
Correct.
Farley all the songs in the competition. He
right.
did the sport.
The
everything.
Maestro, Pernell Farley, the maestro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Shaq and Shoes saying no, Pernell, I judge that CN competition. Yeah, I judge the competition 2011 and 2012. I judge it a good couple of times.
Yeah.
And Pernell's who bring me called Pernell's who got me in the, start me in the music business from school, right?
Good.
Yeah, Pernell's man who like saved my life from the street. So I like follow Pernell everywhere, even if I know how to do it. So Pernell's who to bring me to judge that senior. The senior you won, it was judging. That senior was in. Yeah, it was the judge. I think it was the chief judge, too. No, I think Ziggy was the chief judge.
Pernell was like, listen, and I told me, he actually took it. Pernell was really designed for the competition. The competition got the punchlines and the lyrics that I wrote were more issues that were happening at the time. And I felt that, I probably feel that's why it resonated with so many people. On the night, because it was something that they could relate to. So when I went back to Pernell, he was like, we could just change a couple of things to suit Barbados in itself, and then we could just play out in for Kitty Crop. Luckily, his son was in the crowd at the time, and he had a group celebration time. Remember, he had that tent. And they called me the next day and was like, well, we heard about you. Send me the song. Let's listen to it and see if we will have you in celebration time for Crop Over. So I went from being singing for the first time, Stoker for the first time on the stage, to getting called up to perform in celebration time with the lights. At that time, celebration time had Hyperdog, they had Edwin, they had a lot of big names.
Yeah, all the big names.
Yeah. So that it just went to me, and I guess that's how it really started for me. I actually took a break the next year to finish UV. So once I had finished school, I decided to really do some research, because I had to do some research before I jumped in. So I did some research on Stoker. I looked to see how, and I think that's probably why I got into songwriting too, because I looked at every song, and people used to say RPB was he is a great songwriter, one of the best songwriters to me in Barbados. And at that time, I obviously wasn't into Stoker, so I had to sit down and study, like, why would he say this word? where he used this phrasing, where he put this at this part, and where he would put certain parts in certain songs, and how people would react to them, like from watching performances and stuff like that. And I guess that's probably how it got into the whole songwriting aspect of things. So, like, everything just flowed from there for me. So I wouldn't say that I had planned to do soca. It wasn't anything that I had on my radar probably coming up. But I guess from that moment, it just clicked that I should really get into something, enter it full time.
Yes, and since you got the feel of competition, you got the feel of social commentary.
Yeah.
In the future, can we see you up there doing battle? Especially now with the one song.
I honestly thought about it. What had really deterred me from continuing to do, because that was the only social commentary song I probably I did. What really then was that I heard somebody mention that you had to come up through Junior Monarch and stuff like that to really get people to see and recognize you as a social commentary, or I wouldn't say a social commentary artist, but like if you didn't come up to Junior Monarch as a young artist doing social commentary, it was a bit harder for people to really not necessarily recognize you, but take you seriously in a sense. You know, so
right. Let me tell you a secret, right? I've heard that, right? And I've heard youngsters told me that already, just to you. But let me show you how true that is. In Junior Monarch, only one Junior Monarch winner. Only one shot, and that is Aziza. Only Aziza won Pickety Crop. The other Junior Monarch winners ain't Pickety Crop. And people that don't do good in Junior Monarch is who dominate Pickety Crop. Like, Ian Webster was in Junior Monarch already, and they make it finals or semifinals or anything. You understand?
Oh,
and Ian come in three. So don't mind that. But I heard that already. So I know for sure you hear it, because I've heard that nonsense with the boy in Noya and know the connection, the different type of crowd and all that thing. And it's sorry. And it's real sorry. And I know they're a topic for fireworks. And although they ain't got a crop over, they must have fireworks. And it's a
Monday.
Must have fireworks.
Monday.
Cool. And it's a must have fireworks for sure. Y'all gonna hear me. Fireworks can happen without me. All these fireworks. So these are topics for fireworks, right? But I'm really sorry, Shaq, that you went through that for real. Sorry to cut you off, but go ahead. Tell me about that experience hearing that.
For me, it was like, all right. At that time, I remember I did my first song was with Pernell, and then my second was with Richard Bourne. He had Airborne Studios.
Yeah, Airborne Studios, yeah.
I don't even know. I haven't seen him since then. I don't even know if he still has his studio.
Yeah, I hear a theme in a while either.
Yeah, so I did the second song with Airborne. And then I performed it. And the thing about it is, for me, is like, I performed the song in the tent the first night. And I I didn't even know what encore was. I was going back to the stage, and I see people running back with the mic. I was like, I just performed. I was like, they're calling you back on. So I went back on. Normally with the encore, you would just sing the first verse and chorus. And they sing the whole song again. I got people
This was a celebration, right?
Celebration, yeah.
Correct. Peter Boyce, I think, was the tank manager at the time.
Yeah. And I remember every night I performed the song, I got encore. And then when it came to judging night, damn thing, the place was tight. And then, obviously, I didn't make it through. So then I was listening to the comments after that, just about what people were saying. After the night, I was getting some good reviews and stuff like that from that rock.
Mm-hmm.
It made it my duty to go to every other tent just to hear and see what people, they went for the other, their gaps right. So, when the results came out, I didn't make it through to the semifinals. So I was just listening to see, and then I think that was when, who's this youngster, where he come from, I never hear about him. He sounds like funny and witty, but that's it. And it was like, you know what, I didn't go to Junior Monarch. Probably we're not we're into that pick of the crop semi-finals at this list. Just thinking, you know what, let me just get in. Fucker, I know that. I could sell. It was very important because for me as a youngster at that time, I couldn't sell social era or generation that I wasn't a part of. I can tell my look, I doing street soccer, I doing party monitor, help me push this and market this and get this. There were more buy into that because that at the time I can sell that to them. I can sell really sell pickety crop to my generation or my audience at that time. So I was like, you know what? Let me just work with what I know for sure I could sell. I saw the party monitor. All the friends, all the people from school, you know, from all the schools that I went to. It was just that big, huge support. Like, people actually came up to the final to see me perform. And I, and then from there, I just never went back to Pickety Crop.
But one day you will venture back?
I probably would. I was thinking about it last year, but then they changed it to one song, and I just figured, let me just see how this works out before I jump
in.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So, Derek.
Yeah, man.
But before we go, why you choose, like, you the singer, you love Caribbean music, like,
you're also a trained musician as well as someone experienced, and you love it naturally, you know, with you that's enjoying the music out. Why, as a vocalist, a very good vocalist, why you say, well, I can judge and not compete? Why?
Man, I have been a fan of it for a long time, particularly soca music and stuff like that, but I never found that I was able to sing it authentically, if you get what you mean. I tried, when I was studying, I went into the Caribbean on this ensemble under Stephan Walker. Dr. Stephan Walker, right?
Yeah.
I said, let me try my hand at this. And I found that all the stuff that I had been taught before about how to sing, a lot of that stuff went through the window when it came to actually performing soca music. So you got to be able to shout, sing almost, which is something that I cannot really do. So I kind of shy away from it. I will tell you, though, stuff that requires a little bit more of the sweet soca, that kind of genre. That's something that I might have dabbled in. Might have. But it's never really called to me to compete like that. Release music just because I like it, just because it's nice or whatever. But to actually go into the competition aspect of it, it's never really appealed to me. I love performing. Within our sets on Saturday night, we do soca. You sing some Sam Rupee, Tempted to Touch. Love that.
Correct.
Song.
Correct. You do.
Yeah. So I would sing that. Yeah. I think we did a gig doing the IV. I think it was Jack Woods.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. We sang that there. It was
off your chin and doing things like and me show much respect I have for you guys, right? And big up G Syndicate, right? For real, big up my boy Mali. Mali, just like, unfortunately, Mali young still, just like Mikey young still. So, but when them get old, people can see the legendary things that these men do in careers. Like,
true,
man, legend already. But you see, all come like no Jackals, bigger Jackals. Jackals a man that may probably more friends already too. But Jackals saw what I was doing there, right? And said, well, just like you see the young people that follow you, because everybody know how it's moving. If it gets like maybe 100 young people behind me following me, like that's like my spirit. But well, girls like me too. You know, well, girls are calling from VOD, I think, and said they love me. Jackals see that energy. Jackals see that energy before a lot of people are telling me, man, he could kind of be here and use Don't Be He. He got some equipment, you know what I mean? He got a bar. I could use Don't Be He, and I ain't got to pay anything. Come and use Don't Be He. And the first thing I tell Jacko is that he wants to showcase other people's talent. You know what I mean? So he met Jacko, fall in love with me. Because, you know, like, a couple of our kids there,
gambling machines, they could sell some food, and they could do all these things. But at the same well, I want to showcase the other people's talent right here in the heart of the city, like what people call quote unquote the ghetto. I want to showcase different types of music right here, Jack, when you tell me, all right, no problem. So then when you guys come, you know, you guys, the acapella group, sing some of everything. And then when you guys come and the crowd will love it to all, maybe make the boot, boot, boot like it was a bad man shoot, like it was bad man shoot. Like,
it's true.
It was pleasant, you know what I mean? And you would think, well, you know, some Cartel, some Ovado, you know, LRG, you know, they kind of way to come down, not mash up the place, but it all came, still was the syndicate and got a really good response. That also showed me, you see me? Never think, you know, what people will like, you know, unless you really research. Because when they check, you know, even know. A lot of people come from church people.
Yeah. But I mean, that was an interesting experience for real.
Beer young people. I talk about beer young people. The old people by the bar and things, but not young people, and all the young people love it to the max. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not too much name, just a cappella. So I was like, how you guys get to a stage where you're so confident, right? That, you know, but you could go into any setting. Because that was an open mic. But, you know, like, my voice be reggae, soca. You know what I mean? But everything. Me know I like singing ballads. But what's following me you understand know, different. You understand?
Yeah.
But all I get is the confidence. You see me beginning the IV. We going to Jaco's place. And be doing these songs, acapella. We study how you all get to that stage.
But it's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of rehearsal time. And once you got it tight, I went to a workshop a couple of years ago held by Nicholas Branker, and he said, you know, once you're unique and good, you will get through. So maybe go out. Yeah, you gotta be unique and good. So and that comes again with your preparation and stuff like that. And I think Shaquille mentioned it earlier, knowing who you're performing to. So
yeah,
you weren't necessarily going the Ivy. And expect to sing ballads and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So we figured, you know, again, let me hook them with something, you know. So we started with We Tempted to Touch by Rupee. The whole world know that song, you know what I mean? So once we had them there, we were able then to do, I think we did Gin and Tonic that night, which is an original song written by your guy, Jadon.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So we were able to do that, and people responded really well. As you said, boop, 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 like it's a bad man tune and thing. But because we put in so much preparation, we rehearse 3 nights a week, right? We rehearse 3 nights a week, and then we gig on Saturday nights. So 4 days out of 7, we're together doing what it is we do. So we are pretty confident when we hit the stage, we know what's going to happen. Right, there's no guesswork associated with what we're gonna do. When we hit the stage, we know XYZ is more than likely gonna happen because we've done it so many times.
Yeah,
right. So the confidence comes from that preparation.
It's also great, right? Because when I was young, obviously, you know, when I was young, like from real small primary school, a lot of the songs we would sing with ballads or covers or boys sing school songs, it'd be a lot of American songs on spoosh beats.
Right.
Correct. But no, we didn't see you all doing a lot of, like you say, like, you look at Rupee song as an international song. You don't just look at it as a Beijing song.
Correct.
But it's a Beijing song, but international still. How good it is for our development, right? And how important it is that you all could come. A different group, not a soca band, not a reggae artist, an a cappella group. But you could sing a Barbadian song for international audience that the international audience all didn't know it. How important that is to development, that's why you explain that quick.
That is critical because it allows other people to see that there is worth in what it is we do. You know, it allows other performers to see that there's worth in what we do. And we just got to be confident in that. We did the Jazz Excursion, Barbados Jazz Excursion last October. And in that set, we did 2 original songs. We actually finished with an original song, right? And by the end of the night, people were saying they loved the original songs. They were singing along with them and stuff like that. And that's music that they don't know, that they've been hearing for the first time on that night, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that the people were able to respond like that. So it's just a matter of having confidence in yourself and putting your music out there, man. Putting your trust in your product. Because if you don't believe in it, shoot, nobody else ain't going to believe in it. So you got to make sure that you put out something that you know you can sell. As Shaki would have said, you know, you can't sell it if you don't believe in it. So you got to believe in it. You got to back yourself.
Real.
Prepare. Make sure that when you come out, you know, but yeah, this is the song I want to put out. This is the sound I want to put out. And just go over your stuff, man. I want to suggest that you start with it because, I mean, shoot, people might not know it. But after you get them involved with that one song that they all know, you can most definitely sing your own stuff. Most definitely perform your original music.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, true. And it'd be such a blessing, right? Before you end off, right, like, it'd be such a blessing to, when you're living in a time, it'd be weird because I remember I was in Brampton, Seventh-day Church with my family. So, me doing a set, you know, you're singing like my Redeeming Arden songs. And then to end my set, was just looping. Put your hands where my eyes can see and give thanks. You know what I mean? I'll just loop that one part. Put your hands where my eyes can see, give thanks. And the whole church was singing it.
The whole church
knew it was Rupee and whose song it was. And I just sing that one part. You know what I mean? And with that, my family's playing over there, playing instruments too. And, you know, like, sweeten up the chords, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, sweeten up the chords and give me some jazz chords. And just sing it and get it on. And the whole church knew it, bro. And the whole church knew it from Rupee's song. And I sang some train through my body. All I know here speaking about it, Derek and Shaq. That changed my life and how I feel about music and then how you respect people. Like, what made me start waiting until people get real old. Like, when it did that, behind the church is not in a young church either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Church is enough old people. Seventh-day Church in Brampton, Canada. And everybody know is Rupee's song from just that one part. That changed my view of how powerful music is and our music is.
And it's important to put your own stuff out there. It's really, really, really important. I'm trying right now to move to the point where we are doing just original music. You know,
nice. You can get there.
That's the point you're trying to move towards. You ain't get there yet. You know, you're building your catalog and stuff like that. But I want to be able to do a show one of these days with just original music from G Syndicate. That's my ultimate goal. So right now, what you do is that you're splicing the original music in between any shows that we do, you know what I mean? But you're trying to really keep growing.
And this new one that old boy, and this new one that old, that Ronnie played like Top Boy, let me tell you, this song like a song for, this song is like a song that would play, you know, like normally among everything, amongst anything, like, you playing some crop over Raga Soca, you know what I mean? You playing some music.
It's actually in the crop over 2020 folder.
Awesome. Oh, nice. Oh, they even know that. Thanks, Ronnie. You see, obviously
man,
they're ahead of me. They're greater than I am, so they think ahead of me. But that is great, like, 2020 crop over folder, so you can play alongside, and that's an a cappella group.
Correct.
Like, that was your aim?
We wanted to kind of change the perception of what people think when they hear a cappella. People hear a cappella, they think Boyz II Men automatically. If you're BJ, you would think Emmanuel 4. You know, that kind of thing. So you kind of want to change a little bit of that thinking. If you're real old, you might think Goodwill Singers, for example. So we wanted to kind of change the mentality and the perception of that. And then lately, I found a lot of people were thinking Pentatonics as well, too. So we kind of wanted to shift.
Pentatonics is another popular name,
Yeah. So we were like, we just as good as these men, it's just that we in Barbados, you know what I mean? So, we like, all right, let me start putting up our stuff and see if we can build our own name in our own style. We're not going to try to out North American, the North Americans, you know what I mean?
we live in Barbados, and we are so blessed in Barbados in that we have influences from all over the place. So we got influences from Jamaica, Trinidad, North America,
yeah,
so even the Afro music that's turning now. So we are able to do all
and
that
Europe,
stuff.
Yeah. And Europe,
the North Americans can't do what we do. As certainly not as naturally as we do it, you know what I mean? So we decided,
that's true,
lean into what is we do. We are from the Caribbean, we West Indian, we can do Caribbean a cappella music. Nothing.
Who wrote it? Who wrote the song?
A girl by the name of Rachel Rowe.
Where she's from?
She actually dances and stuff with Dance Machine. She does some writing and stuff like that.
A dancer?
Yeah, man. She actually wrote...
Rachel Rowe?
Yeah, she wrote another song with Jadon, a song called Good Loving for Us that we did with mm-hmm. Magina Kente last year.
Yeah.
I didn't know she
wrote that as well. Rachel Rowe, shout out Rachel Rowe. How that happened? Like, y'all have a relationship already? Do you think and her have a ongoing business relationship? Or she
essentially. She has written this is two songs for us. Now I think she's actually working on a third for us. And that came out of because she worked with Jadon before.
Mm. So
I touched base with her then to write something on her own just to get a completely different feel. And this is what she came up with, man.
Yeah, shout out to her, man. That we certainly must have a conversation with her.
For
all
sure.
Right, Shaquille?
Yes, sir.
So, we want to see more concerts from you going forward in the future?
Yeah, man. I had actually just stopped to try to actually incorporate a live band. I was waiting.
Good.
I just got relaxed some more. It is, and then see if we could just at least link up with a live band to do a proper full time show. But I also
we talking about
in cooperation with the new releases that they have coming out.
That sounds good. So we can look out for Shaquille. Look for Shaquille on everything, Instagram, Facebook.
Shaquille.sg.
Yes. Good. And Derek.
Yeah, man.
Sir, we can look forward for some more coming from you all. You know, at this time, you know, you all are indeed late performers and all late performances stop. I know that stopped for you all. So
yeah.
We but everything in God's time.
We can look
forward for anything from you all online. Being by being can come and see you all in person.
Yeah, we try to work it out how we can get it done. We might have to do some kind of listening party or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so but the next thing is to do another release, another project. So hopefully we can get that out and done probably by September or so.
I like that. You can look for G Syndicate online.
Yeah, man.
If not, you can look for Derek Marshall as well. And Derek's got everything on G Syndicate also. So if you can't find G Syndicate, you can look for Derek Marshall. I really want to thank the brothers for spending time with me today, though, and going so in depth and everything into your careers and into the music and the art of performing and the creative process. I really want to thank you, brother. It was a wonderful conversation. You know, it felt nothing like an interview. And I always love when we could talk, you know, maybe we could confabulate, maybe we could get down deep. I like conversations as more to the interview field. So, Derek and Sha, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and I respect you all as men. Thanks for coming through and being and sticking to your word. And I just want to, on behalf of Starcom, Ronnie and I, getting rid of my rhyme crew, everyone in Vilby Country, just want to say thank you. And you all were wonderful today, for real. Thank you, brothers.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. I love it. And Mr. Clark?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for accommodating me, as always. No, I can't thank you enough. It's been great today. And hope to hear you again soon. And I pray that you get home safe, my brother. And have a great night. And everyone out there in VOB, this is your boy Sluggy Dan. And I love one about two. And this has been Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme on VOB 92.9, the nation's number one station. Good night, manners.
All right.
But look at you now, with your new friends, acting like you is a big shot. No, pictures on Instagram, clearly you live in the life. No,
when you can sing, you can do that.
Every fact, every boat ride, you and your gal on the inside, still in see a center mile.